If you smell the smell of food and are wondering what is going on, it may be helpful for you to know that there's going to be a potluck lunch or a dish to pass that's going to be taking place in here right after this worship service. Also, if you're wondering what's over on this side of the room, it's a ministry fair. There are a number of boards that provide information about some of the ministries that are going on here. I hope that you'll take some time to peruse them, look through, see if there's something that catches your attention, something that you might be interested in getting involved in or knowing more about. But the reason we really come is to understand the Word a little bit better, and so I'd like to share with you a little bit of the Scripture from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times." And Jesus said to Peter, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents," and I think there we're supposed to go, ooh, a gazillion, bazillion dollars, "was brought to him and he couldn't pay. So the Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And I think we're supposed to go, 100 denarii. How's that? But the slave, seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay me what you owe." And then the fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience on me and I will pay you." But he refused. And then he went out and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went to him and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And the Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave all your debt because you had pleaded with me. Should you have not had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister in your heart. Through the season of Lent, we've been preparing for Easter by focusing on Peter. We've been looking at how Peter's faith develops from spending time with Jesus in hopes that it will help us to learn something about how we can become more fully devoted followers of Jesus. And today I'd like to focus on what Peter learns about forgiveness. I will go so far today as to say I believe that I have 6 words that can change your life, or actually 2 phrases of 3 words apiece. That if you say them regularly and often and really mean them, they will make you happier, healthier, more at peace, and more pleasant to be around. And if you don't say them regularly, they will make you uptight, anxious, and unpleasant to be around. And here's the irony. I think if you think that you understand what they mean, you probably have even more to learn about what their real meaning is than somebody who doesn't think they have a clue. Here's the setting. Peter comes to Jesus and says, "How many times do I have to forgive?" And Jesus answers by saying, "Are you dead? If you're not dead, then you got to keep forgiving." His actual words were to say, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. And then he tells a parable about a king who had a servant who owed him a huge debt. The king forgives the debt. And then the servant goes out and there's a second servant who owes him a small amount of money. And the other servant, he says, "Give me what you owe." Jesus says that's not the way that it works. That's not the way that it's supposed to happen. Being forgiven and being forgiving need to go together. Now, hopefully I've got you wondering, what are those 6 words? Are you ready for them? Here they are. The first 3 words are, "Lord, forgive me." And the second 3 words are, "You are forgiven. I forgive you." Let's start with that first phrase, the first 3 words. "Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me." Another way that we often say that to another person is, "I am sorry." What do you think, or who do you think, did what to Peter to prompt him to ask this question of Jesus. Peter's question is, what if another member of the church sins against me? Can you imagine that? Another person in the church doing something to hurt another person. Good intention, well-meaning people doing things that hurt each other. Who do you think did what to Peter to prompt him to ask this question of Jesus? You want to know my theory? Here's one of my theories. Peter, before he became a disciple, was a fisherman. Fishing was the family business. Since it was a family business, they would have had to pay taxes on their business. Their taxes would have been paid to the Roman government, since Rome was the occupying government in Israel at the time. I think Peter didn't like paying taxes. And so I think Peter often would complain about having to pay taxes, and I think he didn't like Caesar very much. The person writing the story is Matthew. Do you remember what Matthew did before he was a disciple? He was a tax collector. And so I think when Peter would start to complain about the government, Matthew would suggest, well, you know, maybe Rome is doing some good for us. They're providing water. They're providing roads. They're helping to provide some stability. I think they got in one of these arguments, and what Peter is really doing is coming to Jesus and asking, how long do I have to put up with this guy? People that we don't know are usually not nearly as difficult to get along with as the people that we do. Forgiveness takes a lot of hard work. Peter must have been thinking, how much do I have to put on up with this? How much do I have to forgive? And Jesus tells Peter that forgiveness starts with the servant pleading to the king, have pity on me, and I will pay you everything. The words that he actually uses are, have patience with me. Now, doesn't that bother you a little bit? Jesus goes from Peter's question of how often do I have to forgive to this story about a king who has this servant that owes an incredible amount of money to him. Because what he's really saying is, Peter thought somebody else had done something wrong to him, but what he's saying to Peter is, the solution begins with you admitting that you're a part of the problem. I think that's pretty nervy on Jesus' part. Because don't you hate having to say those words? Don't you hate having to go to the Lord and say, please forgive me? It means admitting that you have some role in the problem and that there's something that you have to do in order to be forgiven. It's not easy for most of us. Did you see the story this week about the CEO of General Motors? I think it was on Monday. General Motors has been making some cars that had some faulty ignitions. And so these cars have been stalling at really inappropriate times. And sometimes they're causing accidents, and a number of people over the last 10 years have been killed in accidents because of this faulty ignition system. An estimated 13 deaths have been caused so far. And what's almost worst about the problem is that GM hasn't acknowledged that there was a problem for almost 10 years and seems to have been trying to cover it up. So on Monday, the CEO, there's one, of General Motors, a lady by the name of Mary Barra, met with the families of those who had been injured or killed in accidents because of this problem. One family member described the meeting by saying, "We went around the table, family by family, and told stories about our loved ones who can't speak for themselves." Now remember, Mary Barra has only been the CEO of General Motors for a year, which means she didn't make these cars. She didn't design them. She didn't have any role in the mistakes or the decisions that had been made for the last 10 years. And yet, she met with his families. Do you know what she said to them? These were her words. She says, "Today's GM will do the right thing." She said, "And that begins with my sincere apologies to everyone who has been affected by the recall, especially the families and friends of those who have lost their lives or were injured. I am deeply sorry." Have you ever felt like the servant in the parable Jesus tells? Have you ever felt like you owed a huge debt and that no matter how hard you worked and no matter what you did, you weren't going to be able to pay it back? Have you ever known that no matter how hard you try, you are never going to be able to erase that debt? It may be because of something you did, or it may not even be because of something that happened. It may just be a feeling that you have, a kind of a condition of the soul. And have you ever wished that you were free? That's what forgive means, doesn't it? Forgive means to let go, to be free. One translation of it is to hurl away, to send off. We hold on to our sins. We hold on to regrets like balloons, kind of, right? Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you could just let them go like that one that's up there right now? Or are there two? Or are there three? There's actually six somewhere up there? You've been keeping track? Have you ever wished you could do that? Just let go? I'll tell you honestly that I've always had a problem with this parable because I would have liked if it were a good example, a positive example, where Jesus used an example of somebody who was forgiven and then turned around and forgave the other guy and that would have been how the story ends. But that's not the way the story ends. The way the story ends is that the guy who had been forgiven much then wasn't able to forgive little for the other servant that owed him money. But maybe there's a message in that too. As I got to thinking about it, maybe the message is that forgiveness can be really messy. Or that when we fail to forgive, the people that we really hurt are ourselves. Grace, after all, can be really messy. In 2002, the University of Michigan did a study. Their healthcare system did a study of doctors who, when operations didn't go the way that they had hoped that they would, they were instructed to use three simple words. Can you guess what those three simple words were? Please forgive me. Their words were, "I am sorry." And what they found is that 2 years later, there were about half as many lawsuits that were brought against their doctors than had been brought against them in the past. So apparently, there was something about using those words that had power to them. The Mayo Clinic says that people who regularly say they are sorry have lower blood pressure, lower risk of substance abuse, and a reduction in chronic pain. They need to be said regularly, often, and like we really mean them, "Lord, forgive me." But that's just the beginning. The other three of the six words, the second phrase is, "You are forgiven. You are forgiven." Because we've been forgiven, we should also forgive others. The way that we treat others should be a reflection of our relationship with God. The best way to say thank you is in the way that we treat other people, the way that we have been treated. Jesus said it this way. To the first servant, he said, should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? Now, these are really good points, but I got to looking for something different in this story that I hadn't seen before. And what I got to asking myself is, why would the king do that? Why would the king, if he was owed this huge amount of money, forgive it? Why would he let it go? And the best answer I could come up with is maybe what he was looking for is not relief for the servant. Maybe what he was looking for was real change. Maybe he was hoping that this servant would know real change in his life. Maybe that's the reason that the king forgave that first servant all of that debt. And then I started looking for an example of that kind of forgiveness. And I've been knowing this sermon's been coming around for a long time, and so I've been looking for examples of forgiveness for a while. And maybe the best example I've run across, I saw in December of this year about something that happened back in 2006. A lady by the name of Terry Roberts was speaking at UD. Terry Roberts is the mother of Charles Roberts IV. Does that ring a bell in anybody's head? He was a guy who went into a little Amish schoolhouse back in 2006 and brutally and senselessly shot four little girls in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and injured another five girls. Terry is the mother of the man who did that. She spoke at UD, and a part of what she said is that every week now, she goes and spends a couple of hours every week with a 13-year-old Amish girl by the name of Rosanna, who sits in a wheelchair and eats through a tube because she was one of those other five girls who was injured that day. Roberts bathes her, sings to her, and reads to her stories. She says she can only guess what's going through Rosanna's head because the girl can't talk. But Terry says that this is her way of trying to forgive her son. She said she couldn't possibly live with it all of her life, and so this is part of what she's doing to try to understand the power of forgiveness. She says, "I realized that if I didn't forgive him, I would have the same hole in my heart that he had, and a root of bitterness never brings peace to anyone." She says, "We are called to forgive." It was like a step towards getting this off of my shoulders and being able to speak about it. She says, I now have another child, a daughter, and I don't want this to be one of those dark family secrets that nobody talks about. I want to be okay with it, and I want my daughter to be okay with it also. She says of Rosanna, the girl that she goes to help out, she's a beautiful young woman. Life is not the way that it should have been for this girl. So my mind will never forget the hardship that day has caused in many people's lives. And yet, none of us needs to live with the saddest part of our lives 24/7. How about you? How will you offer somebody else forgiveness this week? Jesus was once teaching on the Mount of Olives, and there was a woman who was brought to him who was caught in the act of adultery, and people wanted to stone her. Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Everybody put down their stones. And then to the woman, Jesus said, go your way and do not sin again. Do you think she was able to do that, to never sin again? I suspect that that was a life-changing moment for her, but I suspect also that it was just the beginning. I suspect that she made other mistakes and needed to know forgiveness again. A man had two sons. One of them asked for his inheritance and then went away and squandered all that he had. When he came to himself and realized that even his father's pigs had it better than he did, he came home and his intent was to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. But before he could even get to his father and get the words out of his mouth, the father welcomed him home and said, this son of mine who is dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. After the party was over, do you think that kid never made any mistakes again? I suspect he probably did. But I suspect that was a life-changing moment for him that began a process of understanding better what forgiveness was all about. Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? As many as seven times. Jesus said, not seven, but 77. Some translations say seven times seven. Next week, believe it or not, is Palm Sunday. And we're going to see whether Peter gets it. Does he really stick with Jesus? Or does he need to know forgiveness himself? Sometimes changes happen all of a sudden, but other times they happen a little bit at a time. Change, real change, I believe, means learning to say six words often and regularly, and because we mean them. And those six words are, first three, please forgive me. And the second words, you are forgiven. May it be so. Amen.